My title for today says, The Family of God Will Be Hated by Yahweh's Enemies. As I've already spoken before, I told you all that this passage, it was somewhat difficult for me. Not, when I say difficult, I don't think it's impossible, but I just want to be true to the text, and I don't want to make the scripture say something that it's not saying. But if we look in the Word of God, we will see explicitly in this 25th chapter of Ezekiel, the people that are supposed to represent God, be the family of God, and we call this one, according to the scripture, this was Aholibah. And I had also said by extension that we, those have become a part of Christ, that are grafted in according to Romans 11 into the natural olive tree, we are the family of God. Jesus taught his disciples, the servant is not greater than his master. If they have hated me, they will hate you. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said the time will come that they will kill you and think that they do God's service. But that wasn't new. That wasn't something to be new to the children of God. That wasn't something new to the people that God had come in contact with. Adam experienced that Satan wanted to kill him. Jesus said in John chapter 8, he was a murderer from the beginning, didn't he say it? And he abode not in the truth. And the Lord let my wife bring to view that he hates women. Well, that's the mother of all of us. Read in Corinthians, when it talks about the man being the head of the woman, and that it says that man came from woman, or the woman came from man, and man comes from the woman. That way I can deal with you. But there's something that we need to zero in on. Those that represent God are the enemies of the cross. They're the enemies of God. Because by extension, Satan hates women, and Israel and Judah were called by the name of women, Ahola and Aholibah. And when we see when the Bible talk about the ecclesia that we call the church, it is considered to be the bride of Christ. Now, we just watched a short video of how the Muslim children are trained to hate Israel, to hate that those people, and to want to kill those people. But don't you think that Islam wants to embrace and love those that call themselves Christians or those that follow Yeshua HaMashiach? So in this passage today, we get to see a real glimpse of how the family of God was hated. And often we give them more than what God wanted them to hate us for. What do you mean? One of the reasons that they hate you is because you represent God. Number two, when you represent God, you represent order. God had an order for the world. He had rules and regulations for the world. Not only do you represent God, not only do you represent order, but you represent the chastisement of the Almighty God. You come and you say everything is not right and there will be a judgment. Lastly, you represent telling people that what they do is vain. It means nothing. You denounce their gods. You denounce their system. You denounce their laws, and you try to elevate God. You represent God. You represent a new order. You represent judgment. And not only do you represent judgment, but you show people that what they have is disdain in your sight. What is the retaliation? They learn to hate you. Israel, they learn to hate Israel. They learn to hate their order. They learn to hate the rebuke that God would give them. And they would try to make the God that the children of Israel serve be vain and nothing. Let's see how this thing unfolds. In the 25th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel, as when we did a little discussion before, he has dealt with Judah severely. One of the reasons that he didn't have pity, he was told not to. God said, I'm not going to have pity. There is time for me to keep my word. The time for repentance is gone. I granted you all opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent. If you don't believe what I'm saying, I believe the 36th chapter and the 16th verse of 2 Chronicles will give it to you. God said, I sent them prophets, but they mocked the prophets. Check and see if I'm telling you right, Dree. They mocked the prophets. They learned to hate themselves. They learned how within the faction of the family of God that was started with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on a human standpoint when God said he's the father, they learned to take the ways of the heathen so much so that there was not much difference between it, and they learned to hate those that would stand up for God. Is that the verse that I wanted? Read it, please, Dree. It's so beautiful.
But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, until there was no remedy.
And so when this takes place, it looks like God has no pity. It looks like God has no mercy. But there comes a time that there can be diseased parts of a body. And there's no remedy for the leg from the leg down, and it has to be cut off so that something can live. And that we know that as humans, how much more would God know that I have to cut off so many of you all that you will not ever repent so that I can get a remnant that will start all over and honor me and become the family that the world will hate because of the fact they walk with me. When God selects you as a family member, you're going to be hated whether you obey him or not. I say when God selects you to be one of his, you are going to be hated by the world whether you obey him or not. Let's look and see if that unfolds. 25 and 1, Dree, start reading.
The word of Yahweh came to me. Son of man, set your face toward the Ammonites and prophesy against them.
Now God is showing in this particular passage, contrary to what I've heard and talked to somebody that considered himself to be a very learned man, he said that the Bible talks about tribal people. The tribal people, the children of Israel, and that's a tribal god and their mythical superstitious belief. But now we see that God is exercising his judgment. We see that God is saying, Son of man, I give you the authority to set your face against the Ammonites. I've already done the same thing with Amos. I've already done the same thing with Jeremiah. But now you set your face and lock it toward them. Why is that? Because when David said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, Psalm 24, the world and they that dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the sea and he has established it upon the flood, I can execute my judgment on the world when I get ready. This is my world. And Ammonites, you are under me just like a Holabah. Set your face against the Ammonites. As a tidbit, when you see Ammonites, most of the time in the Bible, it will say Bene Ammon. It's the sons of Ammon. I don't know why they always translated Ammonites. I'm just throwing that out there for free. Second, third verse.
Say to the Ammonites.
Wait a minute. Prophesy against them. The little prophecies that we get most of the time from people nowadays that they call prophecies is something good. God said that when you prophesy against them, it is good. Why is that? They hate me. They hate you. You're supposed to represent me. You're supposed to be the ones that brought order into the world and to speak of my judgment and say that their gods are vanity and nothing. So you speak against the Ammonites and say this. Give me three.
Hear the word of Yahweh Adonai. Thus says the Lord God. Because you said, aha, over my sanctuary when it was profaned, and over the land of Israel when it was made desolate, and over the house of Judah when they went into exile. Therefore, behold, I am handing you over to the people of the east for a possession.
Let's work through verse 3. Is it okay if we work through verse 3?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. God says, Ammonites, hear the word of the Lord from my representative. Thus saith Yahweh Adonai, because you say, ha ha, ha ha, ha, we are seeing death to Israel. Aha, we're seeing death to Judah. Aha, we're seeing death to the representative of this people that say they have a God and they want to change our order and give us his order. They want to pronounce judgments and say our gods are nothing, and it looks like it's death to them. Aha, aha, we're happy. God said, because you did that. And he says, you did it against my sanctuary. The place where my honor dwelt. The place where forgiveness could be given if a man came with the right mind. A place where priests could serve on a higher level as if they were angelic beings. They had the tzitzit and they were able to do my will. And some were able to go in there and offer up prayers before me and have like a communion table before me and see my light. And a high priest could go inside of the holy place and they could be in my presence. I had a holy mount on the ground, a temple for them to dwell in. And when my sanctuary was defiled, the sanctuary that was supposed to be for the whole world, because Israel was sent to you to lead you to me, but you hate me, you said, aha, at my sanctuary that I so graciously allowed to be in the world with mankind. Then, once it was profaned, you were happy. Then you got happy over the land of Israel when they got taken into captivity. That was an affront to me. Israel did not give my order like they should. They didn't represent me like they should have. They did not make you all understand my judgments like you should have. They did not show you that your gods were nothing. They got with Baal and they got with other things, and they had a calf set up in Bethel and Dan, but I had assigned them a job to do. And because you thought it was funny, you rejoiced over them going into captivity. That's why I'm against you. Then Judah. You see, we see three things. My sanctuary and my representatives. My sanctuary should represent me, and my people should represent me. And because you don't like me and my ways and my standards, you said, aha, you wanted to see them go into captivity. He said, therefore, will I give you to the land of the people of the east, so that that would happen to you, so that you would be destroyed. And you know what? It didn't have to be that way. It did not have to be that way. And if you will go to the 49th chapter of Ezekiel, verse 6, and just hold it for me. Dree, go ahead and read some more of Ezekiel in the 4th verse of that 25th chapter, please.
Therefore, behold, I am handing you over to the people of the east for a possession.
For the three things. My sanctuary, when it was profaned, you enjoyed it. When my representative Israel was taken into captivity, you enjoyed it. When Judah was taken into captivity, you enjoyed it. And I'm letting you know, I don't like it. The family of God is hated. If you represent God, the family of God is hated. We saw it with Adam. We now seeing what happened with Israel and Judah. How dare we think that we're going to serve God and they not like us? And then when she gets through going with Ammon, I'm going to show you that Ammon was a relative, a kin person to Israel and Judah. Read some more.
And they shall set their encampments among you and make their dwellings in your midst. They shall eat your fruit, and they shall drink your milk.
The same kind of judgment that I allowed to come in Israel. I'm going to let these people come in. They're going to eat your food. They're going to set up palaces inside of you, and they're going to do what they want to do, and they're going to handle you. Read some more, verse 5.
I will make Reba a pasture for camels, and Ammon a fold for flocks. Then you will know that I am Yahweh.
I'm going to make Rabbah. Do you all remember when we were going through it and it said that Nebuchadnezzar had a choice which way he was going to go? And he looked into the liver. And when he looked into the liver and he had his arrows, he decided he was at a crossroad. Do I go and get Judah, or do I go this way and get Ammon? And he chose to go to Jerusalem. And so Ammon thinks that he's free. Understand something about Ammon. Ammon is the descendant of Lot. He is the nephew of Abraham. God told Abraham to separate from his country and from his kinmen. We see God talk about Abram in Genesis chapter 12 and 13. We see that he takes Lot. Somebody say, well, he shouldn't have took Lot. I don't know. I would think not. But there is a possibility that he was serving as a father to Lot. I don't know. But I can tell you this much. From the way that it looked when he took Lot, it almost seemed like the same kind of thing that when he took Hagar. So I lean toward the fact that he'd been better off not taking Lot. But I can't say that he did wrong in taking Lot. But I do say that I lean that way because God ensured there'd be a separation completely. And that we see what happened afterwards. That's all I'm going to deal with on that particular point right there. They were relatives. God used Abraham to save this man in time of war. And that man may have been there at the time in Genesis 14, Lot, when he had that meal with Melchizedek. After God saved him and Abraham offered intercession for Sodom when Lot was there, Lot was able to escape. The second time he got saved, Abraham saved him from being a captive in war. And then God saved him with the intercession of Lot coming out of Sodom. And then his daughters got him drunk and they got pregnant. The two children that came from there were Benoni and Moab. So they were kin to the children of Israel by blood. Do you feel what I'm saying? I want to submit to you that if you look at this, you will begin to see that your relatives, if you love God and they don't love God, can be your worst enemies. Because if you represent God and they hate God. What do you mean they hate God, Tim? They hate his ways. They hate what he stands for. They hate the fact that God wants to give order to their life according to his word. They hate the fact that you will speak of God's judgments and his righteous rebukes, and they don't want to hear that. And they'll hate the fact that you will speak of God saying that the lifestyle that they live and the things that they honor before God is vanity. Here, a relative of Israel rejoicing over their calamity, rejoicing over the sanctuary being destroyed. I want us to feel this thing. Read some more of the sweet word of God, Dre.
For thus says Yahweh Adonai, because you have clapped your hands and stamped your feet.
Now this is not the same clapping hand and stamping feet that we saw in earlier Ezekiel when he was upset, when there was problems. The Bible here is going to explain the difference. Read the difference, Dree.
And rejoice with all the malice within your soul against the land of Israel.
You rejoiced. You clapped your hands. You stopped. Let me give y'all a picture. Oh, yes. Israel is destroyed. That temple is destroyed. Yes. I believe they had a party. I believe they celebrated. I believe they celebrated the same way they're going to celebrate when the two witnesses that will come and represent God and show God's order and rebuke and let them know that the idolatry that they are doing and serving is no good. And when those two witnesses die and they say the people will rejoice and they give each other gifts till the witnesses get back up. Well, I'm saying in the same manner. In the same manner, I believe people rejoiced when our Savior was killed. I believe they rejoiced. I believe they were happy. Here he comes in. Talking about, you see me, you've seen the Father. All that I speak is the Father's word. This is what you said is not what the Father meant. You err. You don't know the scripture or the power of God. You trying to show me order? I heal a man on the Sabbath. You don't like it, but I remind you of the order that the Sabbath is not made for, the man is not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. And you have a problem with me trying to set God's order. You don't like it when I rebuke you. You don't like it when I show you that your system of traditions go against the will of God. You rejoice when I die. But I rose up. That's the pattern The family of God, those that are in the family of God, they're going to be hated. They're supposed to be hated because we represent the Most High. Read some more of the sweeted word of God, the next verse.
Therefore, behold, I have stretched out my hand against you and will hand you over as plunder to the nations. And I will cut you off from the peoples and will make you perish out of the countries. I will destroy you. Then you will know that I am Yahweh.
See, you had three things you did. When my sanctuary was defiled or profaned, you liked it. Made you happy. Israel was taken into captivity. Made you happy. Judah's taken into captivity. People slain. Made you happy. But you didn't realize that Israel is the apple of my eye. You got happy over something that caused me pain. And so what happened is, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stretch out my hand. I will deliver you. I will cut you off. I will cause you to perish out of the country. I will destroy you. Then you will know that it's me. I am Yahweh. But I say it didn't have to be that way. Because Jeremiah had prophesied what God was going to do to Ammon. And there was a possibility that Ammon could escape this kind of fate. What did the Word of God say in that verse? 49 and 6 in the book of Jeremiah that I had you to turn to. I want you to see it didn't have to be that way.
And afterward I will bring again the captivity of the children of Ammon, saith Yahweh.
So he gave the same kind of pronouncements against them, but had they responded differently, God could have brought the captivity back just like he's going to do for Judah. Let's go to the next one. Let's see how Moab, there were two sons of Lot, Benjamin and Moab. Moab is next on the list of those that hate the family of God. Oh, I want to give you something for free. Is that okay if I go back and give you something for free? This is not the first time Ammon did this. There was a man that rose up and God made him a judge, you know, because Ammon was coming and his family didn't like him. And this man knew something about God's word. He knew the history. I mean, if you really read Judges 11 and you read about Jephthah, you will understand, because they say, you took land that was ours. And you did so and so and so. And Jephthah actually goes through and just rolls it out. Well, why did he do so and so? Well, you just want to start some mess. And so what Jephthah does, he goes to God and ask God for a deliverance and say, whatever comes out of my house, I'll dedicate it to you. And God gave him victory over Ammon. This is not the first time that Ammon has wanted to rail against the children of God. I just thought I'd go back and just give you a taste of this is nothing new. They've been had it in for Israel. They've been had it in for the children of God. And why is that? Because when you're motivated by the ungodly one, the father of lies, the father of murder, anything that represents God is going to be something that you detest. And you all know the rest of the story, I believe, that how his daughter came out of the house when he said he'd dedicate anything. And then we learn when we go through the book of Leviticus, when something is dedicated to God, you can add a fifth to it as a reparation. And you don't, and he wouldn't have to make the sacrifice. According to history, what I learned is that she got to stay there, because God does not take human sacrifices. Please read in Moab verse 8.
Thus says the Lord God, because Moab and Seir said, behold, the house of Judah is like all the other nations. Therefore, I will lay open the flank of Moab from the city. From its cities on its frontier, the glory of the country, Beth Jeshima, Baal Meon, and Kiriathaim.
Now what I want us to do is I want us to go back to verse 8. I left too much on the table right there. You know, like you have a table and you feed some people and they're talking about they were hungry and you left all this food. Now either you got to eat or we need to put this in the refrigerator. Well, there's a lot on this plate here in verse 8. Read it again.
Thus says the Lord God, because Moab and Seir said...
Seir is a mountain where Edom, because we're going to get to Edom, one of the other relatives of the children of Israel that hated Israel. And if you will go to Numbers 22, because we're gonna talk about a little bit of something there. And it says, here's the problem. They say, Moab and Seir say, behold, the house of Judah, Aholibah, is what?
Like all the other nations.
You're saying you're nothing. That, did you catch it? You said they're like all the other nations. God has said, you're the apple of my eye. God has said, I have chosen you. God has said, you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. I have set you up to represent me. And you say, no. No, God's election means nothing. God's choice of his salvation means nothing. God letting you be his ambassador. No, you're just like any other nation. Nothing special about you. That means, therefore, nothing special about your God. That's what they're saying right there. They're saying that, and God doesn't like it. Well, it goes back to the time when God was leading his people out of the wilderness, or during the wilderness time. And Moab decided, I don't like this. Moab got upset because the children of Israel was coming in the land. They were coming to represent Yahweh, the God that owns everything, the God that owns and has the right to everything, coming to set up God's magnificent order that pronounced God's judgment on the land. And you remember he said in Genesis 15 that the iniquity of the Amorite was not full, and God was going to let them come in. And when it was full, God was going to deal with them. You're bringing in God's judgment, and you're going to say, our gods are nothing. And so the king of Moab hated them. I don't want this to happen. And so he decided, by supernatural powers, I'm going to try to destroy Israel. And do you not see the same thing in that video we saw? Death to Israel. What good is childhood, the little Muslim children would say, if we don't have that land? Because we got such a detestable hatred for the people that's supposed to, notice, I say supposed to, represent God. Because sometimes all you have is the title, and people can still hate you for the title. Please read in the 22nd chapter of Numbers, verse 1, and.
And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the oxen licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time.
They see the children of Israel coming, and they say, there's so many, they going to take up all of the resources. And I don't like it. So the king starts to speak. Give me some more words, Anne.
He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people.
Curse me this people, the king said. Curse me these people that God has delivered from Egypt. Curse me these people that's coming to bring the order of Yahweh to this region. Curse me these people that's going to be coming in talking about the judgments of Yahweh because of the things that we've done, because in the past we knew of this Yahweh. We did know, because we are the descendants of Lot, but we've gone our own way. Curse me these people that's going to come in and say that our gods are nothing and want to destroy our gods. Curse me these people, because we won't really like to curse God. We hate this family of God. Read some more of the word of God, Andrina.
For they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed.
Next verse.
And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed
with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balaam.
We're not going to read all of Numbers 22. That's why when we go through these scriptures, we can talk about it. So he paid Balaam to go to curse the children of God. Balaam first said he wouldn't go. Then the man sinned again and said, look, I'm going to give you a reward. I'm going to pump you up. I'm going to make you a great man. Just curse these people, because whoever you curse is cursed. You are a prophet. And so whenever he got him to finally get ready to go, because he kept wanting to go, and God said, go, just go. So as he rode his donkey, he gets ready to go so far, and the angel of the Lord is standing there ready to kill him. He doesn't see it. He's so dumb, and the Bible said the madness of the prophet. He's so willing to go and get unjust gain, want to curse God's people so he could profit. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord, and the man didn't. He went three times, and he kept hitting the ass, and God opened his eyes and let the donkey speak. And the donkey rebuked him and said, why did you hit me? And he said, surely, if he had had his spear or his sword, we might have killed you. And the angel of the Lord spoke to him and told him, if it hadn't been for you, I'd have killed you way back there, coming to curse my people. And he ends up having to bless God's people. That's Numbers 23 to 25. Tim, you didn't tell the whole story. That's right. Leave some work for you to do. Get involved and plugged in. But the point is, you can't curse whom God has blessed. And you can't bless who God has blessed. And these same people, did I say it backwards? No, well, you can bless who God has blessed. I'm sorry. Glad you straightened it out. Say it loud next time, because I might not hear it. And then I'll be wanting to go back and delete it from the recording. And it says, and the elders of Moab, and they departed with rewards of divination. So when we get back to, we see about 1,000 years later, Moab is still on the scene wanting to curse Israel. I submit to you, there will always be enmity between Satan and the people of God. He will want to destroy the family of God. He will hate them. Read some more of this about Moab in verse number 9 now.
Therefore, I will lay open the flank of Moab from the cities, from its cities on its frontier, the glory of the country, Beth Jeshimon, Baal Meon, and Kiriathaim.
These are cities that they have, chief cities that are known at this particular time that they have. And I'm going to deal with those cities as well. And what else?
I will give it, along with the Ammonites, to the people of the east as a possession, that the Ammonites may be remembered no more among the nations.
Do you see that it seems like he still wanted to just bring us some more Ammon? I mean, you dealt with Ammon, then you come to this section, and you start to deal with Moab, and you bring Ammon in one more time. Now, you know, if you think about it, during the book of Judges, they had the same issue again with them. And then remember Eglon? And you remember Ehud, the left-handed man who stuck the dagger in his stomach, and King James said the dirt came out? I was a young boy the first time I read it. I just thought that was so funny. I just thought it was so funny that, you know, he said, I got a present of the Lord from you. And the king went back into his chamber and closed the door. And his servants didn't know what was going on. They thought, well, maybe he was using the bathroom, taking a long time. Then they started to feel bad. But what had happened is, he was a left-handed man, if I remember it right. And he stabbed him in the stomach. And King James Version said the dirt came out. And I just laughed myself a good one. I'm about 17 years old. And I had never read anything about the dirt coming out of somebody's stomach, not realizing it's his bowels, etc. But the point being made is, this is the old rivalry with Moab and Ammon. Read some more.
I will give it, along with the Ammonites, to the people of the east as a possession, that the Ammonites may be remembered no more among the nations. And I will execute judgment upon Moab. Then they will know that I am Yahweh.
You know, when you learn how God is dealing with Judah, and how God has dealt with Israel to bring them back, and then the other nations think that they are destroyed because they really wanted death to Israel. They wanted death to Judah. They really want death to God and what represents God, or what they perceive to be something that represents God. How dare we not feel that the same thing is not going to happen to us? Jesus says that the servant is not greater than his master. They hate me. They will hate you. These are family members. Although they stretched out, these are family members. This is the world system. Because once you get distant, you don't really see each other's kin, although we all are kin. But there's a world system, and the world system does not want God to intervene. The world system don't want you to come in there with God's order. They don't want to hear about God's righteous judgment. They don't want to hear about God's plan of salvation. They don't want to hear about God's judgment. They don't want to hear about God's rebuke. And they definitely don't want to hear you coming and running your mouth and telling them that their gods and their systems are futile, that they are nothing when it comes to the things of God, that they'll be destroyed. They don't want to hear it. And it's the exact same thing that we see going on here. Take me to the next relative. This is the brother. This is the brother. Family can get so bad that they can act just like the ungodly. Even in Israel and Judah they have it, but here is the brother, Edom. Edom is the brother of Jacob. Jacob is Israel, Esau is Edom. Please read.
Thus says the Lord God, because Edom acted revengefully against the house of Judah,
they hate the people of God. Please read.
And has grievously offended in taking vengeance on them. Therefore, thus says Yahweh Adonai, I will stretch out my hand against Edom and cut off from it man and beast, and I will make it desolate from Teman even to Dedan. They shall fall by the sword.
Now, if you really want to see how this thing plays out in the book of Obadiah, that's where you really get to see the taste of that one little book. 31st book, what we call the Old Testament. It's about the destruction of Edom and their pride. Read some more, Dree.
And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel.
I'm going to do it, and I'm going to use Israel, the one that they tried to subjugate, the one that they didn't want to hear, the one that they didn't want to let my order be taught by, the one that pronounced my judgments, and the one that showed that what they worshiped, their gods were vanity. I'm going to let them be the executor of my judgment. Please read.
And they shall do in Edom according to my anger and according to my wrath. And they shall know my vengeance, declares Yahweh Adonai.
I want you to feel that. They will know my vengeance, declares Yahweh Adonai. While Ann is getting Deuteronomy 23:7-8, I'm going to say it didn't have to be that way. And while I read Psalms 137:7, for those that are writing it down, so I will call it again, Psalm 37:7, I'm going to, 137:7, I want you to turn after you write that down, to Obadiah, verse 10 and 2 through 14. And read what reason why I say they had a chance not to be destroyed. Look at how God wanted to provide for Edom, the brother of Israel. What does it say? Verse 7 and 8.
Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite.
First, God said to my family, you shall not abhor or hate or detest an Edomite. Please read.
For he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land.
That's good enough, right there. He's your brother. I say he's still your brother. Somebody could say, well, it was way back there when it was, you know, Jacob and Esau, but we ain't brothers no more. But God said, even during the time of Moses, he is your brother. And this, look at how he had acted toward him when he got his little nose pumped up real big. Huh? Go ahead and read it. She said I had another verse I told her to read.
The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of Yahweh in their third generation.
Did you get that? Because I had forgot that scripture. Read it again all together since I made you truncated.
Thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of Yahweh in their third generation.
So we even see that God was going to be gracious to other nations. Edom, Egyptian, the Ammonite would have been gathered back together. Why is this? Because out of all of those nations, unless God said completely exterminate them and let not one be left, like he said the Amalekites, those people could have converted and learned God's representatives. Represent him. You would learn to follow them. Learn the order. Learn God's rebukes and his judgments against you so that you could repent, so that you could change, so that then, and only then, you will be able to see that the gods we serve are nothing. Because until you see that the God of heaven is everything, you will find a God to worship, whether it's yourself or somebody else. In Psalms 137 and 7, this is talking about when they were in Babylon, because I looked to see who wrote this one. It just says, when they were in Babylon, the songs that they would sing. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation. They wanted it to be just destroyed. They wanted it to be totally exposed. This is their brother saying this kind of mess, and God remembered it. And I got a free one in Ezekiel 35 and 15, and it's just a little nice thought. Read that in Obadiah for me, Dree, in the 10th and through the 14th verse.
Because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever.
This is what he is saying to Edom. You see, Obadiah is saying what Jeremiah said, and what Ezekiel has said, but the way we're focusing today, the family of God will be hated by Yahweh's enemies. And we're seeing it here, but see, the part that we are getting to feel is that God is going to defend. Please read.
On the day that you stood aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them.
You came in and you plundered when strangers came in. And I want you to know you did that to me. You did this to me. Didn't Jesus teach in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew? When did we see you hungry, we feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you naked and give you clothes? When were we in prison and you visited us? When were we sick and you came to see us? When you have done to the least of these, my brethren in the family, you've done it unto me. Paul, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Yeshua, I'm Jesus, who you persecute. He identifies with his family. And therefore, Satan knows that he's identified with his family. He hates him, therefore he's going to hate you. Look at the hatred that's here. The other country come in and demolish you, and you come in and you go get the slim pickings. That's what they call it. Please read, Dree.
But do not gloat over the day of your brother in the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Do not gloat over his disaster in the day of his calamity. Do not loot his wealth in the day of his calamity. Do not stand at the crossroads to cut off his fugitives. Do not hand over his survivors in the day of distress.
In the version that she reads, it's making it as if that this is what they shouldn't do, but in the other version that they've done this. They've looted. They looked when they escaped and they did that. What version is that?
ESV.
I'm going to be checking out ESV. Because they looted. We know the history. They looted. They did this. And so there's one or two things happen. If this is written during the time before they do it and they did it, and we know that they did it, and the people that, when it's translated here, but I will check into that. They looted. they rejoiced, and God destroyed them. And Alexander helped work. No, that was Tyre. He helped destroy it. But then Petra and those rocks, they did this. Because I'm looking and I'm saying, why is it saying it this way? But that's why it's good to know different versions and know what's going on in the particular passage. No, we good. We good. We good. They weren't supposed to do it. We know they did it, and God destroyed. He kept his word. He destroyed them. You don't hardly hear of Edom much anymore, except for what I got in the reading, the 35th chapter and the 15th verse, and we're going to find out that they still had some hostility. What does God call Edom by another name?
As thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir.
That's what Edom ruled. Go ahead.
And all Idumea, even all of it, and they shall know that I am Yahweh.
Do you remember a man named Herod? Mm-hmm. That wanted to kill all, that killed all the baby boys trying to find Yeshua, Jesus? Mm-hmm. Guess what kind of Jew he was called? Idumean Jews. Mm-hmm. Idumean, one that from that same kind of region. One is a follower, or could have been an Edomite Jew. However that came to be, he was known as an Idumean Jew. And I thought I would give that to you for free. That hatred still went. And not only did he hate the Jews, but he wanted to hate the very one that represents God, who was the fullness of his glory. The express image of his person. The one that was going to sit on the right hand of the Father when he purged us from our sins. And how much more do you think he would hate us? Do we read the next verse in Ezekiel chapter 25? We're almost through with this passage.
Thus says the Lord God, because the Philistines acted revengefully and took vengeance with malice of soul to destroy in never-ending enmity. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Cherethites and destroy the rest of the seacoast.
Now we see here's another old enemy they have. We talk about the Philistines. They are the descendants, if history is right, the one that was in Captor. They are the descendants of Ham, and they were the sea-dwelling people. Amos talks about them and how God was going to deal with these people. But we see that the Philistines, they would come in and they would fight against the children of Israel. They were doing things to them back in the book of Judges. But the one that sticks out the most that I like is that they call themselves going to destroy the children of Israel so much, and they were going to make God subjugated to them, that they took the Ark of the Covenant. They took the Ark of the Covenant with the cherubim that overshadowed the mercy seat with the shoe bread on the inside, with a manna on the inside, and the table of stone, and put it in the house of Dagon. We will not have your order. We have defeated your representatives. But that was because of Eli and his sons. Read 1 Samuel chapter 1 and read on about the 8th chapter, you'll see it. They call themselves destroying the presence of God and his people. They were going to defeat the Ark of the Covenant. They didn't want his order. They did not want his people to represent him. And they didn't want to have any rebuke that their God, Dagon, was nothing. Oh, but what did God do? If you remember that 5th chapter of 1 Samuel, I believe it is, it said that they had the Ark of the Covenant in there with Dagon, and the next morning they come in, the God Dagon was on the ground. Then they did it again. I think his head was cut off and his hands were cut off, because God, in no uncertain terms, made it known that your God is worthless. He can do nothing. Then he struck them with hemorrhoids, and they had hemorrhoids and all of this stuff, and they finally got rid of the Ark of the Covenant. But the children of the Philistines were not through. They came up again with Goliath. They came up again repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. And I just want you to know that there were times that God gave them a chance to change. God allowed David to go to Gath and be a servant. God allowed David to have one of the guys that he sent to, I think his name was Hunan, when he died, his father died, he sent some people to him. Because they had been gracious. And you know what they did? They cut the men's half of their beard off. And cut their skirt down hard to the bottom to rebuke them because we don't want to hear from you. And I'm saying that the family of God will be hated. Even when you try sometimes, to fit in, to be kind to the ungodly, their hatred of God is of such that they will still turn against you. We see this in real families. It's not just the families that are nations. All of these nations that exist today still hate God. You have a remnant maybe in each nation that will love God, but they don't like Him. They don't like His ways. And you will have family members, reduce it down to where we are today. You can have family members when you truly represent God, or you even saying that you're representing the God of the Scripture, that will begin to hate you. And they will rejoice when you sin. They will rejoice if you get pregnant by somebody else other than your husband. They'll rejoice when you leave your wife. They'll rejoice if you get caught in murder. They'll rejoice when you do something ungodly, because they hate God so much they want to see you destroyed and discredited. They will hate you. They will hate you when they've done wrong, and they do the same thing. They will hate you for it. Their pride and their arrogance will hate God so much so that they'll do that. And so when Judah was being chastened by God, when Israel was being chastened by God, when the sanctuary was profaned, they rejoiced and God did not like it. They're still my children. Until I cut them off, until I say no more with them, you leave them alone. But they hate God. They're the children of God in that particular situation. They don't get to walk around arrogantly and say that everything's okay when it's not, because it's not okay. You can't rebuke God's messages when He comes to you and tell you that you are wrong, because you behave just like the ones that hate God. And you mock, and you don't realize the prophet is coming to show you what God has said, get you right with God's order, rebuking your behavior, and letting you know that your behavior profits nothing. You're acting like the heathen. And so the Philistines came to Israel many times when David had tried to befriend them. Our family members will come, and we call ourselves befriending them, and often they're going to try to destroy us from our walk with God, our looking like God, to go away from God's order, to not hear rebuke about God, to not learn anything about what God says about what they're doing, and they want to make us vain like them. That's what that passage is I'm looking at. God is not only a God of the whole world, but I deal with those that hate me and hate my family. I'm Big Daddy, and I know how to take care of my children. I know how to correct them, and I know how to mess with those that mess with them. Read some more of the sweetest word of God at verse, I believe, 17.
I will execute great vengeance on them with wrathful rebukes. Then they will know that I am Yahweh when I lay my vengeance upon them.
God said, they'll know at that particular time that I'm Yahweh. I'm the one that's in charge. I'm the one that's doing what's necessary, because I'm going to execute my sweetest vengeance on them. Let's kind of wrap this thing up. If I will, and go to Jeremiah 25:1 for me, please, because there's something in there that I really, really, really want to taste. And if I could get Dree to just look at one thing for me. I want us to see, because God started this thing with Ammon and Moab. So Dree, if you'll be sitting on the 24th chapter of 2 Kings and the first verse, that'll help me take it to the end. If you will, and start at that verse for me, Jeremiah 25:1.
The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah.
This is the time when the problem is getting ready to happen, okay? Go ahead.
That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened.
I say that the family of God will be hated. And often I've shown that it can be relatives. I've shown Ammon, Moab, Edom, and Philistia that was in the neighborhood. Now I want to just make it known that even within the family, so-called the family of God, many can rise up and pull away leaders after themselves. That's what Paul said in Acts 20, I believe, 29. But I want you to see in the area where we're talking about right here, the same thing happened. Jeremiah said, I got up early. He sent prophets, sending them, but you didn't listen. You didn't listen to the representative of God. You didn't listen to his order. You wouldn't hear his rebuke. Excuse me. You wouldn't turn away from your vanity. What does verse 5 say?
They said, turn ye again now, every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doing. And dwell in the land that Yahweh hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them. And provoke me not to anger
mm-hmm.
with the works of your hands.
So don't become like the heathen. But what happened? Read some more.
And I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saying, saith Yahweh, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt.
And they didn't listen. Their head was hard. They decided, I'm going to do things my way. And what they ended up doing is that they ended up listening to the false prophets. The false prophets told them it would be okay. The false prophets told them that, you know what? We got the temple of God here. The false prophets said, we are the children of God. The false prophets said, this is God's land. And as long as we have the title that we are Judah, as long as we have the title and the Ark of the Covenant here and the temple here, we are saved. Once we've been saved, once we've been elect, everything is okay. Nothing can happen to change us. But I'm here to tell you the truth, that those people are your enemies. They're your enemies. They will turn you away from the truth. Jude says, I believe Jude 5 or 4, certain men crept in unawares, ungodly men who were ordained of this of old, and turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Drew, you don't have to read that in the 24th chapter where God sent Ammon and all those people against him before. I just wanted to bring that part in. If you listen to a person that's claiming to be a representative of God or haven't been a representative of God before, and they change from God's order, they change from God's righteous ways, and they decide, you know what, we're going to do it this way. We can vote God's order. We can dismiss God's rebuke. We can determine that, you know what God has said about idolatry and vanity is not so, and you're still okay. They hate you too. It's not just the one that blatantly that you see hates God, don't want to hear about God, don't want to conform to his standard, don't want to give up the idolatry. It's the one that used the terms and used the same kind of religious garments, wolf in sheep clothes, so to speak. And tell you that it's all okay when God says it's not. They tell you that God's order is not the order for you. That was old time ago, a long time ago. Or tell you that what you're doing, maybe you get into astrology. Or you get into a little Islam with the Bible. Or you get into a little Zen with the Bible. Or a little New Age. You got your crystals. And they're telling you that it's okay to mix this. They hate God too. Because God said no. And if you're trying to represent God, they hate you. One of the greatest things that you can do is realize who your enemy is. And realize why they hate you. If you're following God, they're supposed to. Don't be like Ammon. Don't be like Moab. Don't be like Edom. And be one of those that hate people that do God's will because, well, we started out together. And I don't like what you stand for now because I've moved on. I've become progressive. That's the old way of doing things. We got a new way to worship God now. Don't be like those people. And rejoice over when you see somebody that really loves God fall. Don't be one of those that hate them. And lastly, don't be one of those that allow those people to turn you. Be real. If God has to chasten you, beat you down, yes, the enemies of God will rejoice. They would love to see you mess up. But you remember, God can restore you if he grants you repentance. But those that hate God, if he doesn't grant them repentance, they're lost forever. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, and mercy. Thank you for letting us see that no matter how much you have to chasten and what you have to do to us, as long as we repent, as long as we're granted mercy, as long as we're walking uprightly, we will have an enemy that will rejoice over our sufferings, that will rejoice over our shortcomings, that will hate us if we don't have shortcomings and do things to us. Help us to realize, Lord, that these people and the things that they suffered in this particular passage are the things that's going to come upon us. Help us to realize, Lord, that there are some people right now in that same area, Israel, right there in the middle of all of the Muslims, and all of the Muslims chant and sing about death to them. Those people that are there, no doubt some of them do love you and worship you. There are many that are still going to have to be chastened by you. But Lord, the hatred is there. Help those that will live for you. Help those that you're going to have to come to you through repentance to be who you would have us to be. Because you said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, of those that will truly follow you and serve you. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus. Amen.